Well, dear friends, greetings today in the name of our Lord Jesus. We're starting a sermon series today that is listed in your bulletin, the title, Give It Up. It's one that we hope is going to be an encouragement to you in living out your faith, and maybe not, if not only an encouragement, maybe a challenge to take a step back and rethink and re-examine and maybe even change some of the things that you're doing in your life. I hope you all realize that's what the Christian life is when it comes right down to it. It's a matter of hearing what God says, remembering what he's done for us in Jesus, and then living out the life that God has called us to live. God has called us to live. Now, before getting into the series, let me say that this series might in some ways feel like it's a bit premature in its start date. All right, at least on the surface, based on the title, Give It Up, you might think, well, maybe it would be better if they would have waited a couple weeks before starting this. Now, the reason I say that is we're not quite there yet, but in 2 weeks, we're moving into the season of Lent. Lent is a time in the church year when for 40 days, we remember the path Jesus walked and the things that he gave up for us as he went to the cross. Lent is a time to think about that sacrifice Jesus made for us. Now, one of the long-standing traditions in the church is that people will do that same thing. They'll give up things during Lent to remind them of the sacrifice Jesus made. All right, a favorite food, favorite drink, whatever, right? To remind them that what our Lord did for them as he went to the cross, a good and long-standing tradition. This series, at least in its title, is picking up on that same idea of giving up something as a result of the relationship that we have with Jesus. The difference is, in this series, in Lent, it's for 40 days, reminding us of what Jesus gave up for us. In this series, it's not tied to the Lenten season at all, but something much more foundational to the calling we have in Jesus to be his followers, to the claim he's made on our lives from the time we were baptized, and that claim that's going to go with us and carry with us all the way until we find ourselves in his kingdom. As his children, his followers, his disciples, there are things in life that Jesus has called us to give up. To give up. There are things he wants us to let go of in our lives and never to reclaim again. In this series, we're going to be talking about some of those things that we're called to give up. And not just for 40 days in Lent, but for all of the days that we're given in this life. We're also going to be talking about how God, in calling us to give up things that stand in the way of our relationship with him, how he also promises in that calling to fill those same things, those same places where we've given up something, with something even greater. Today we're taking on the topic of control. In our relationship with God, in Jesus, in living and in following him, God wants us to let go of our need to have control. To get us going today in this series on this topic, I don't know if you know anybody in your life who likes to control things. All right, raise your hand if you know somebody who likes to control things, all right? Just raise your hand. Don't look at them, all right? That's not where we're going with this. This could really get ugly if we do that, right? You know, I don't know if you know somebody who likes to control things, if you like to control things yourself. If you do, there's nothing inherently wrong with that. I mean, there isn't. There's nothing wrong with wanting to have control. In fact, I've seen many situations, I'm sure you have too, over the years, where there's a lot of out-of-control things going on, a lot of out-of-control people, all right? It's never God-pleasing. It's much better to have control in life than not. When it comes to examples, when it comes to children, parents need to have control. There are a lot of parents in our world today who don't have control of their families. In families, it's better that control is built from within, all right? So that it always plays out better when it is, all right? Singles, couples, married, whatever it is, friendships, no matter what, teacher or student, if there's no control, if no one has control, then it all starts to unravel. And when that happens, then nobody wins, all right? Having control is important. At the same time, if our need and desire to have control stands in the way of the relationships we have with other people, then our need to control things can easily lead to things being out of control. And what I just said, what's true in our relationship with others, is even more true in our relationship with God. Giving up control. Let's talk for a moment about one of the passages we just read. Our first lesson today was that familiar story of what happened early on when our world was first created. When it all started, there was no question that God was the one in control. God was the one who created the world. God was the one who created people. He put them in this garden in those chapters and for the most part gave them free rein, right? They could do almost anything they wanted. There was only one thing they were told not to do. And that's what they ended up doing. There's only one tree that they were commanded from which not to eat, and that was the one tree from which they could not stay away. You know the story. That crafty old serpent, that sly and deceptive snake. Remember his question? Remember what he said? He said, did God really say, you shall not eat of its fruit? Did God really command that it's that one tree away from which you must remain? I don't know what it is about being told not to do something that makes it even more tempting to do it. All right? Fresh paint, don't touch, you know, right? I don't know why it is that when God says you'll be better off if you don't, that we have this inner desire and tendency to actually want to find out. That's a good question. As I think about it, maybe in your life as it is in mine, do we actually think we know better than God? Do we actually believe deep down that our desired approach will end up in a better place than his original design? Or does the problem we're dealing with go even deeper? Is the problem we're facing in life something that's even greater? Could it be that what we actually want more than anything, even ahead of God, is to have that final say? This idea of controlling things goes way back. It's part of those opening chapters in the Bible. It's ultimately what led to that original sin. And because it was original, the first, it keeps getting passed on. You know what I inherited from my parents? Besides the color of my eyes and my skin? Do you know what they inherited from theirs and they from theirs? Do you know the one thing that Mary and I passed on to our four kids that they had no choice or chance to reject? With that first sin, that original sin that keeps getting passed on, it was a matter of control. In that first garden, it all came down to who is it that will have the final say? You know what happened? Adam and Eve, they thought they had a better plan. You know how it worked. Those first people, they thought they had a better way. And so they ate, and soon they had to hide. And so every one of us, from that point on, have been wearing our fig leaves ever since. Giving up control. We need it in life to keep things in order. We need to give it up in life if we want things to last. It's strange how it works in the Christian life. So many things that seem like they don't fit. It's only when they seem like they don't fit that they actually do. Go down the list of the things Jesus told us. If you want to save your life, you need to lose it. If you want to be first, then move to the end of the line. Leaders need to be followers. To be rich, you first need to become poor. The least will become the greatest. To be healed and find joy in life, it's only going to happen when you're broken and begin to cry. Same thing with control. I mean, if you want to have it in your life, then it's better that you leave it in the hands of God. If you hope to keep it in your life, then you better make sure it belongs to him. I give you a long list of times in my life when I thought I had a better way than God. I'll bet you could too. I could give you a long list of situations and reasons why I thought what I thought might actually work. Do you know what I've learned over the years? From all of my living, from my desire in so many settings to have that final say, do you know what I've learned? I've learned that when my ideas are better than God's, that when my way of coming at it is more insightful than his, that the next time that happens, when I actually end up better in life as a result of doing what I think is best instead of doing what he thinks is best, the next time it happens, it will be the first. It's yet to happen in my life. giving up control. If you want to have it in life, you need to leave it with him. If you hope to keep it in life, you'll be better off if you let him have the final say. Our gospel reading today was from the book of Matthew. It's one of those stories in the Bible from Jesus that sets the stage for almost everything that follows. Important story in the familiar one, Matthew, Mark, Luke, they all tell it. Only John doesn't give us that narrative, but it's sort of implied in what he says. It's one of the first things Jesus does in his ministry. It's one of the first places the Holy Spirit leads him in his life. You remember, out into the desert for 40 days, just like Lent, Jesus gives it all up. No food, no shelter. Out with the wild animals, all alone. What happens at the end? Sounds a lot like what happened at the start. Along comes the devil, that slippery and smelly and slimy tempter of a snake. And it's the same thing as in the garden. It's the same temptation to have control, to be in control and have the final say. It's easy, the devil says. Easy. After 40 days, all you have to do is command these stones to become bread, and then you'll be able to eat. All you have to do is throw yourself down, let the angels do their catching thing, and it'll be okay. Just bend a little knee. Just let me only for a moment be your one. And if you do, then everything you see and want in life, it'll all belong to you. Anyone relate to that desert story? Anyone ever been tempted with that same deceptive and life-destroying line? It's all about control. It's all about wanting to be in charge and have the final say. If you take it, you'll lose it. If you want to keep it, you need to leave it with him. Why do we keep doing it when it doesn't work? I mean, why do we still want it when it's all so much better when we don't? Jesus never did want it. He never did. He never in his life gave in. Now, he might have wanted it in his humanity, but he knew how it worked. He might have even have done it were it not for the fact that he knew. Three times he left control in his life in our story with God. Three times he had the chance to grab it and have it all, but he never did. Man does not live by bread alone. Do not put the Lord your God to the test, and away from you, you evil and deceptive and life-sucking serpent, for it is only God who deserves our worship, and only he is the one we shall serve. You see what happened? Are you beginning to see how this all works? Jesus gave it all up, his opportunity to have control, and ultimately was replaced with it. He was able to keep it. Jesus let it all go, every chance he had, all the way to the cross, and it all stayed and remained with him. Only in leaving it where it belongs will it ever belong to you. Only in not wanting it for yourself will it ever be yours to keep. All of your worries, all of your temptations, all of your challenges and opportunities you have in life, I mean, all of your passions and desires and things you want to see happen and maybe even to avoid. If you want to be in control, then give the control to him. If you want to keep control, be the one calling the shots, then make sure that you are not the one calling the shots. Give it to him, and control will be yours. Leave it with him, and your life will be in control. Like so many other things in the Christian life. Control is no different. It really isn't. It only fits when it seems like it doesn't. It only works when the one who makes it work is not us. And so, as we begin this new series, take on this one topic this week. You tell me, what are you going to do with the fruit from that one tree? It's your garden in life to choose. And which temptation are you going to follow? It's your desert in life to live. This whole idea of wanting to be in control, maybe it's time to give it up. And not just for 40 days during Lent. for all of life. Let's pray. Lord God, we thank you for the promise you made long ago to save this world and us in Jesus. And in so doing, to ensure that that control would always remain with you. We thank you for Jesus, who fought off the temptation to take control himself and for his willingness to follow your will all the way to the cross. Help us in our tendency to want to control things for ourselves, in those times and places in our relationship with you when we think we know better, to truly know better and leave it and entrust it to you. Fill us with your Spirit. Strengthen us in your word. Empower and enable us to trust in what you have said, in what you've promised, and in what you have done for us in Jesus, that our lives might always be in your control. In his name we pray. Amen.